Today our readings tie so perfectly together. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, and it is Paul's farewell address to the church at Ephesus, where he had spent 3 years preaching and teaching and exhorting and admonishing them. And this was his final discourse. And then in the Gospel we have the Lord's, one of his final discourses during the Last Supper, John chapter 17. His priestly prayer, the prayer that he said before he himself went into the garden and was arrested and then put to death. So here we have these two beautiful passages, one from Paul, one from the Lord, again before they were both about to leave their beloved disciples and their beloved flock. Paul is in Miletus and he's preaching to the presbyters at the church of Ephesus. See, even in the early church, you had deacons, you had presbyters who were priests, and you had bishops. The early church was very well developed. You had Peter, the leader, the first pope, the shepherd of the flock, and then you had the apostles. They were the first bishops. They appointed presbyters who were priests, and you had deacons that also served God's people. So here you have a fully developed church, even in its infancy stage. You have this seed form of all the different levels of the clergy. So what does Paul tell the presbyters? To guard the flock. See, the flock is God's people, God's sheep, his flock, his beloved followers. And so the priests were there to be the guardians and the shepherds of the flock. So he says, tend the flock, which was bought by such a great price, the blood of Christ. See, that's how much you're worth. That's how much each of us is valued, that we're worth the blood of God. He says, he acquired us by his blood. And then Paul warns them that after he leaves, savage wolves will come to try to destroy the flock. These wolves would be the heretics, the Gnostics, and the other early enemies of the church. People like Nero and the persecutions under these pagan Roman emperors. See, the flocks will be tried to, the savage wolves will try to destroy the flock. As they say, from outside, from persecution, and from within, through heresies trying to infiltrate the church. So Paul says, guard the flock. Be careful of the wolves that are trying to destroy the flock. And he says, even men will rise up that will pervert the truth and try to draw the followers of Christ away from the truth. See, these are the heretics that would come around to deny that either Jesus rose from the dead or to deny the true incarnation. And so he says, be vigilant. Always be on guard. A Christian has to always be vigilant against the world, the flesh, and the devil, the three enemies of our striving towards holiness and salvation. He says, be vigilant. For 3 years, night and day, I admonished you with prayers and tears and exhortations. I now commend you to God, you who are consecrated. See, to be consecrated means to be set aside for a holy purpose. We're consecrated in our baptism. He says, I didn't want any gold or silver or clothing. My own hands have served my needs and my companions. What he's referring to here is that he was a tent maker. That was Paul's profession. He used to make tents. That's how he earned his living, by making tents wherever he would go. So he paid his own way. He was a tent maker. And then he says something very interesting. Always remember the words that Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But you know what's interesting about that? That's not in the Bible. Okay, that's not in any of the Gospels. Out of all the teachings of Jesus, you never had it recorded where Jesus says, it's more blessed to give rather than receive. See, this is part of the oral tradition. You have the written tradition, sacred scripture, then you have the spoken word, the other teachings of Jesus and the sayings of Jesus, part of the oral tradition. So this is one of the best, really, Catholic views against the fact that everything is written in the Bible. Everything is not written in the Bible. You have the Word of God, sacred scripture, but then you have the sacred tradition, the oral teachings of the apostles. Then it says, he concluded, they all knelt down, and they all prayed. They huddled together, they prayed, everybody was weeping loudly. They threw their arms around Paul, they kissed him. They were distressed because they said they would never see him again. And so they're very distraught. They would never see him again. And so they escort him to the ship. And just one thought or two about the gospel. Again, the Lord gathers the apostles together in the upper room. He gives his priestly prayer in John 17. He knows he's going to his death as well. And he prays for unity. He prays that his disciples will be united. Father, make them one, just as we are one. And the Lord is praying for unity. I wonder what would the Lord think today when he looks out in the yellow pages of every, or the white pages, and finds 40,000 different Christian religions in America. Okay? I'm sure he'd be distraught to see 40,000. What happened to the unity? What happened to the unity, the one holy Catholic apostolic church that Jesus founded upon Peter and the apostles? What happened? Well, everything got splintered off, and more groups get splintered off and more. But we pray for unity. That's something we should pray for every day, is Christian unity, that everyone will come back to the one faith founded by Christ.